Hey guys, this is Guy Agostini, aka Sunspot himself, and if I can't be hanging out with Jubilee, I'm happy to be hanging out with the Power of X-Men Familia. Hope you survive the experience.
What's up, Familia? Dayspring here with an episode of Power of X-Men, and we got a very blink if you miss it Easter egg in episode 4 of X-Men 97, Motendo / Life Death Part 1. And it's such a small Easter egg that if you blink or if you're not looking for it, you'll 100% miss it. And I think if you missed it, my gosh, Familia, go back and rewatch the episode and find it, because I think this could be a very telling Easter egg for where X-Men 97 is going. But before we begin this episode, ring that notification bell, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Power of X-Men on YouTube or on the podcast. And by the way, if you are listening to this episode on the podcast, I have been told to encourage you to leave a review. I've seen some great reviews. I've seen some mediocre reviews. I've seen some terrible reviews. This show is more of a Familia for everyone. We all come in. We share our feels. We can disagree. You can dislike the audio quality. But the way I see Power of X-Men is that it is a playhouse. And the people who put on the production are our co-hosts, the talent, the writers, the actors, the diehard X-fans, the amazing cosplayers, the new to comics, MCU stands, all of them who come in, do episodes with us, contribute to the Power of X-Men ecosystem. They're the ones who this show and conversation are about. So leave those reviews if you want. All right, so when Forge and Storm are in Forge's office, there is a like bulletin board, because that's what you did in the 90s. You had bulletin boards with photos and little keepsakes on it. And if you look hard enough, there is a photo with Forge in between Dr. Godfrey Attler from season 1 of the X-Men animated series. Not a character in the comics. So as far as I know, not a character in the comics. And I'm pretty sure not a character in the comics. And his arm is around another person, but the face cuts off. But it is so clearly Bastion because of, well, one, the silver-ish hair, the pink and the black costume. It's 100% Bastion. Now, this is really interesting for a number of reasons, and I want to break it down here for our Familia, because again, this could just be a small little Easter egg, and you know, it's just a little nod to Forge's very shady background and how he was able to create the technology for that cannon that Executioner had that took away Storm's power. That very well could just be it. However, Familia, we know for a fact that this show quietly plants some seeds. So we're going to break down this small little Easter egg because it's very telling at the very least at the amount of thought Bo DeMaio and the entire production team have put into this series, because it lines up. Even if this goes nowhere, it lines up with the established lore that we have in the series. And so, you know, that was one thing that I thought was really interesting was when we did the Maddie and Jean conversation episode with From the Ashes, where we talked about where Jean was swapped out for Maddie. Someone was like, oh, that's not Maddie in season 5. And then someone chimed in. It's like, yeah, I agree. That was never the intention. And I agree. I want to be clear. I'm not disagreeing with that. I believe when season 5 was created, that was supposed to be Jean for all intents and purposes. And there was never a swap out for Jean and Maddie. However, With the gift of retrospection, the production team has come to revive a 30-year-old series, and they're looking to what has been established and how they can use established lore to tell new stories. So in the case of Maddie and Jean, yes, I do believe she was swapped out in Good and Evil, and now retroactively, it's called a retcon, especially if you're a comic book reader, you know lots of retcons happen all the time because of now this retcon, that is Maddie in season 5 of the X-Men animated series. And some people are like, oh, the swap out happened in between shows. But I just don't think that's the case. I think it's very clear that Bo has thought about the original series quite a bit and is using that original series to tell new stories in today's world. So whether you agree with me that it happened in Beyond Good and Evil or the Phalanx or somewhere else, that's fine. We're a community. We can have a conversation. But, oh, I think I'm right. I think we can all have a conversation. But the swap with Jean definitely happened sometime within the canon of the X-Men animated series. Okay, so with this in mind, they are mining what has come before to tell a story now. So in season 1 of X-Men the animated series, episode 9, which by the way, I had on VHS, I've seen this episode countless times, especially as a kid, because I had the VHS, the cover with Rogue punching Avalanche and Pyro. But we find out that there is a scientist in Muir Island called Dr. Atler. And Dr. Atler is really interesting because he is the world's leading expert on mutants. He's a geneticist and he is currently residing on Muir Island where he is renting a facility from a one Moira McTaggart. I mean, that's huge. I mean, we know that Moira in the comics now in today's world is very anti-mutant. Even though she's a mutant herself, she has been aligned with Orcus. She has tried to exterminate mutants. So it's very interesting that Moira is renting out this facility to him. Again, at the time of the original series, it's just because Moira had Muir Island. We're introducing Moira and Muir Island. Of course, this geneticist, it makes sense that he would rent out from there. But now with the gift of retrospection, we know there's a lot more with Moira than meets the eye. So, as stated by Cable, we know Dr. Atler was the person responsible for creating those mutant collars we saw in Genosha that inhibit the X gene. So mutants, when they're wearing that mutant collar, I guess it emanates a little radiation, as we sort of find out in X-Men 97, that inhibits the X gene, thereby not allowing mutants to have access to their powers. And Xavier and Moira in episode 9 are very well aware of Dr. Atler's research that it has led to a cure. That is why he leaves the mansion and he comes back to them on FaceTime. It's not FaceTime, but you know, he kind of communicates with them on the computer screen, letting the X-Men know that Dr. Atler has found a cure. Now, this is really interesting because he makes it sound like this is a done deal. Xavier's like, he has found a cure and each of us are going to have to make their own decision. Obviously, this is something that impacts Rogue quite a bit because she is a star of the episode, The Cure. I'm assuming that on the back end, Xavier must have at least seen some kind of research that would suggest that Atler had created a cure or was very close to creating the cure at the time of those, you know, published scientific findings. I'm assuming he published it in some kind of scientific journal, you know, but we are going to assume that Dr. Atler was very credible in this world and that he had found a cure or, again, was on the cusp of finding a cure. So when Moira is buzzing Atler in his facility, he's here like, no, I don't want anyone, go away. And Xavier tries to reach out but is blocked. We know this is Mystique and Apocalypse creating this block for Xavier. And this is when we find out that Dr. Atler may not be who he says he is. Dr. Atler has actually been swapped out for Mystique. Mystique is impersonating him. Later on in the episode, we get the question from Avalanche, who asks Mystique, did you create Dr. Atler? And Mystique is like, oh no, he was real enough until he met Apocalypse. Right? So what happened here? Why would Mystique and Apocalypse want to kill Dr. Atler? Well, for one, he probably found the cure for the mutant X gene, and they wanted him out of the way. Was that the motive, or did he want the technology that Dr. Atler was sort of on the cusp of or possessed in order to create his horsemen? I don't know. This we don't really have much evidence to suggest this way or otherwise. I would say it makes sense to me that Mystique and Apocalypse caught wind that Dr. Attler had found a cure for mutants, had found a way to eliminate the X gene. They pounced on that, right? Because Apocalypse is all about survival of the fittest and mutants being the next stage of evolution. They pounced on it, they killed him, and they repurposed his technology to create the Horsemen. So when Mystique is posing as Dr. Attler and she's saying that, oh, we have this cure, she's trying to get mutants who want this cure to actually undergo this new process that will turn them into a Horseman of Apocalypse. I mean, listen, it's 90s plotting right there. But that's sort of what makes the most sense to me. Again, we don't really ever get stated what were the overt reasons that Mystique and Apocalypse killed Attler. All that we get in the series is that they're using this machine that's supposed to cure mutants, but actually turns them into Horsemen of Apocalypse, or as Pyro slash Avalanche says, Slaves of Apocalypse. So we don't know when specifically the swap between Mystique and Dr. Attler occurred. I'm assuming for the purposes of this episode that is actually Dr. Attler in the photo with Forge. Why? Because Storm says that scientists in Scotland. So he must have been talking and collaborating with the real Dr. Attler at one point, because even though Mystique is a killer assassin and apparently really smart at operating the machine to turn people into horsemen, I'm assuming that that Mystique didn't do all the work leading up to the cure, and that the real Dr. Attler at one point had his own research and data, and he shared it with Forge, and Forge was able to use some of that data, mine that data when he created the cannon that would suppress Storm's power as used by the Executioner. But it would be really interesting if that actually was Mystique in the photo and not Dr. Attler. Ooh, I do. We're going to circle back on this in a moment, because Mystique has to be out there. I'm sorry. Mystique is posing as a character. Wouldn't it be funny if she was posing as a real Jean? Obviously not, because Maddie read Jean's mind and saw authentic memories there. So of course, she's not posing as Jean. Let's not even put it out there, but I think Mystique is out there, and I think I know which character it is. And by the way, Familia, this is all just speculation. All speculation. This is all from watching 4 episodes of the series. This is what happens when you've rewatched the X-Men animated series your entire life and you're 40 and you rewatch it almost every year. Well, maybe like every other year, I'll sit down and rewatch it, but I'm telling you, or you know what we do? We sometimes just play random episodes in the background, but I'm telling you, this is just a speculation. Take all my speculation with a grain of salt. But anyways, so that's two ways that we can look at this photo, right? Is that Mystique posing as Attler, or is that the real Dr. Attler? I am the camp that is the real Dr. Attler that Mystique would later kill. I'm assuming it was Mystique who killed Dr. Attler. I don't see Apocalypse doing that level of work. Apocalypse is more like, kill this guy. Mystique's like, yes. And she comes in guns a-blazing because Mystique is awesome that way. But I'm assuming this is Dr. Attler in the photo. If not, it is Mystique, and that is actually very interesting, because we do know Forge and Mystique have a very tight relationship in the comics. So if it is Mystique in this photo, which again, I don't think it is, but if it is, does Forge know that's Mystique? That would be pretty, pretty interesting. And the one thing I find extremely interesting as well is that Attler is the name of Irene Attler, aka Mystique's wife in the comics. Now, was the character created with that kind of nod in mind? I don't know. I've never even thought to ask Eric and Julia Leewald about that, but next time I will. But I wonder if these three, Bastion, Forge, and Dr. Attler, are Project Black Womb, but in the X-Men animated series. Project Black Womb was a team that consisted of Sinister, Irene Adler, and Xavier and Juggernaut's fathers. And they were performing a lot of mutant experiments that we saw sort of play out during the 90s, and really horrific experiments on mutants. So I wonder if these three are supposed to be Project Black Womb in the X-Men animated series. So at the start of X-Men 97, Gyrick is being interrogated by Cyclops and Storm and mentions tolerance is extinction for humanity. He talks about how, you know, people are accepting of you right now, but this is a fad because deep down inside, every human out there knows that if they're being tolerant of mutants, it means extinction for humanity. And so this is when Jean or Maddie, we're going to say it's Maddie because it's 100% Maddie, as we know. Maddie comes in, reads Gyrick's mind, and she senses that there's someone else in there. And then she's hurled into this vision with Master Mold that unleashes like an apocalypse. And presumably there are so many graveyards of dead mutants, presumably they're mutants, graveyard, and annihilates everyone. And Jean kind of comes out being like, oh my gosh. So the question is, who is in Gyrick's mind, right? Well, the phrase tolerance is extinction. The word tolerance, if you're a big X-Men comic reader, the word tolerance, we're no strangers to the word tolerance. It comes from the epic late 90s comic book crossover, Operation Zero Tolerance. Now, I want to give a disclaimer. I stopped reading the comics at Operation Zero Tolerance just about when it was about to begin. I had gone through the Onslaught saga. I was already like 14. I was like, I'm going to tap out of these comic books. You know, as much as I love Onslaught, I think it did a lot of bad for the industry. It's kind of the poster child for very bloated crossovers. And so, you know, Marvel was going through its own issues. They were doing Heroes Reborn. It wasn't like the best time to be in comics. And so when Operation Zero Tolerance started like kicking off, I was like, peace, I'll see you later. But I actually read Operation Zero Tolerance later in life, maybe actually like, I want to say in my mid-20s. I probably, that's how old I am. I'm like in my mid-20s, like 15, 20 years ago. Well, 15 years ago. But I read it, and it's actually a really, really great series, Familia. Go out there, pick it up. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun read, and it's not as dense as Onslaught, right? It may not have the magic of something like Hoxpox. It may not be as dense as Onslaught, but it's sort of right in the middle. It's fun. Don't take it too seriously. Enjoy it. The art is great. But we had Operation Zero Tolerance, which was Bastion executing Operation Zero Tolerance to stop the mutant problem. And within that series, Forge and Val Cooper all play major roles, as does Gyrick. So when Jean is sort of going in his head and she's here like, oh, there's someone in there, it's very possible that the person in Gyrick's mind could be Bastion. Now, here's a little problem with that thought. In the comics, Bastion is cybernetic, more technology-based powers, not necessarily a telepath. That doesn't mean he couldn't create some kind of technology to occupy someone's mind, right? That's very possible that he was able to do something like that in the context of the series, or he has a different set of powers. So, or the Gyrick we have is like half phalanx, half machine, half Nimrod, you know, whatever, you know, whatever they want to reveal for that to be the case. So that's very possible. However, we know tolerance is extinction is the three-part finale. So Gyrick said it, and the last three episodes, which is going to be part one, two, and three, is going to be called Tolerance is Extinction. Now, Tolerance is Extinction is also reminiscent of another title that's pretty big in the X-Men canon, which is E is for Extinction. And that's when Cassandra Nova, Xavier's evil twin sister, don't ask, Xavier's evil twin sister unleashes wild sentinels onto Genosha and slaughters 16 million mutants. Yeah, it's a really big story. And it kicked off the new X-Men Morrison era. I mean, it was kind of jaw-dropping. I read it. So I came back to comics midway through Grant Morrison's new X-Men. So sort of around, I want to say, right at Xavier. So actually a little bit towards the end. I lie. Towards the end, because we got right at Xavier's Assault on Weapons plus Planet X, and then Here Comes Tomorrow. So maybe middle end semantics. Anyways, E is for Extinction literally redefined what it meant to be a mutant in the early 2000s. It is a major story. And as of now, within the context of X-Men 97, we know that several Master Molds exist around the world. And, you know, Cassandra Nova in the comics had ties finding those master molds and wild sentinels. And we are seeing that Genosha is now entering the UN. They have not been shy about this. They keep saying, in fact, in this episode, episode 4, they mention that Jean and Scott are off doing politics because Genosha is entering the UN. Magneto is also telling the X-Men, why didn't you ever think of sending the Morlocks to Genosha? Given Xavier's vast resources, why didn't you send them to Genosha? In fairness, it's pretty clear that the Morlocks did not want to leave the Morlock tunnels. They wanted to stay there. I mean, Storm, they have been invited to the mansion, and they're like, no, we're staying here. This is where we stay. In fairness to the X-Men on that. But however, we now know the Morlocks are going to Genosha. We can assume more mutants are going to Genosha. And the other thing about Cassandra Nova, because she is Xavier's twin sister, she has similar powers, and she is a telepath. So is this the mind, the presence that Maddie sensed within Gyrick? And could Cassandra Nova be pulling the strings here? Now, especially since the character is appearing in Deadpool and Wolverine, and she was in that trailer. A lot of people are like, oh, no, that wasn't her. It is a bald woman. And Emma Carrid has been long rumored to be playing Cassandra Nova. They haven't mentioned who they're going to be playing yet. However, we do know that Cassandra Nova, she has been rumored to be in this movie. So, you know, we're just going to end it there. I'm not saying that this is going to be the same Cassandra Nova in X-Men 97 and Deadpool 3. I'm not saying it's the same one. I don't think they're going to do that. I want to say that very clearly, because no matter how many times you repeat something on the internet, people still run the other way with that direction. But it could be possible that since the character is going to be featured in Deadpool and Wolverine, that they would bring the character into the X-Men animated series. Not the same version of the character. Now, the one flaw with that plan, though, is that, you know, Xavier's off in space. And of course, there's so many plot points out there that you can mine. I think it would be kind of, I don't know, at left field to bring Cassandra Nova in and sort of give an explanation to Cassandra Nova. I mean, listen, they're going very fast with a lot of things in the series, so I'm sure they could do it. I'm pretty sure I can eat my words. And I also don't see why they would give a Forge, Dr. Attler, and Bastion Easter egg and just let it end there. So, I don't know, Familia. Lots of questions here. If you want my honest opinion, I think we are going to get a hybrid of Operation, I'm like Tolerance is Extinction. No, we are going to get a hybrid of Operation Zero Tolerance and E is for Extinction, in which Sentinels are going to be going to Genosha. I think Genosha is in trouble. The seeds have been planted for Genosha being a hub for mutants. There's going to be a lot of mutants congregating there on that island. They're going to be vulnerable, and Sentinels are going to come and destroy it like they did in the comic books. Now, whether Cassandra Nova or Bastion or someone else is leading the charge here, I don't personally know, but it's very exciting. And regardless if this is a dead end Easter egg, I want to give credit to both Mayo and the entire production team, because even putting a character in there like Dr. Godfrey Adler, who was never really in the series to begin with, it was Mystique, but mining the world building from season one and making it applicable to Storm losing her powers with the Executioner, I think it's absolutely brilliant. Anyways, Familia, those are our thoughts. What do you think? Drop them below in the comments. Slide into our DMs on Power of X-Men, and we will catch you later.